Imagine it's 1516 in Palermo, Sicily. A mob is just like screaming for blood and cornering the Grand Inquisitor in the streets.
Right, Cervera. He's literally seconds away from being torn apart.
Exactly. And his only weapon, a piece of bread, a consecrated host, which he holds up like a shield.
Yeah, and the crowd is just mocking him, shouting that he's a hunter of money, not a hunter of souls.
It's wild. So today in our exploration into the source material, we are looking at Henry Charles Lea's work on the Spanish Inquisition in Italy, places like Sicily, Naples, Sardinia, and Milan.
Right, because you hear the word Inquisition and you think of this unstoppable force, but the archives show it was actually a really messy, bureaucratic, and desperate struggle for control.
Yeah, a total struggle. So let's unpack this, starting with Sicily. This was kind of the experimental ground for the Spanish model back in 1487.
Exactly, and things got dark very fast. By 1492, during the expulsion of the Jews, the archives show officials were literally searching the cavities of bodies for hidden gold.
Wait, really? Like the cavities of bodies? If they were doing that, how could they even pretend it was about heresy?
Well, they barely did, honestly. The religious mission was almost immediately just cannibalized by a massive money-making operation.
Oh, wow. So it was like a failed startup, basically.
That is a great way to put it. It was completely broke from day one, underfunded, disorganized. The staff basically turned to embezzlement just to keep the lights on.
So the people in Palermo weren't scared of a priest holding a host because they just saw a corrupt tax collector in a robe.
Precisely. Now, Sicily was about brute force, but Naples, well, they figured out how to kill it with a pen.
Right, because they actually accepted the papal Inquisition from Rome, right?
Yeah, they accepted the papal version, but they actively revolted against the Spanish brand in 1510 and again in 1547.
So why was the Spanish brand the specific breaking point that led to like torchlight processions of 7,000 people?
It was all about this rule called the exequatur. Think of it as a legal kill switch. Basically, no papal or inquisitorial order could be enforced without the local viceroy's signature.
Oh, I see. A massive firewall of red tape.
Exactly. And the Neapolitans were fiercely protective of it. In 1547, the city literally armed itself, fighting Spanish troops while shouting, "Empire and Spain!"
That is so fascinating. They were loyal to the Spanish crown, but fighting the king's own foreign court system to keep local control.
Right, but when that firewall failed, it was devastating. Like the 1561 Waldensian massacre in Calabria.
Oh, right, the Waldensians. They had practiced this simple pre-Protestant Christianity for centuries.
Yeah, and because the rural areas didn't have that same legal protection as Naples, thousands were slaughtered or sent to the galleys. It showed what happened when the red tape snapped.
It's brutal. So if you couldn't stop them with a riot or a legal signature, people found a third option, the get out of jail free card.
Ah, yes. In Sardinia, this was the familiar loophole.
Right. So how did an ordinary guy just declare himself a familiar and suddenly the law didn't apply?
Well, a familiar was essentially a layperson who did grunt work for the Inquisition, serving papers or acting as a guard.
And in exchange, they got immunity.
Exactly. They got privilege of forum. This meant they couldn't be tried in secular courts or taxed. In some Sardinian villages, almost every single man claimed to be an official.
Oh my gosh. So the most feared institution in Europe just became a giant bureaucratic shield for local criminals.
Pretty much. They only answered to the Inquisition, which was usually too busy or corrupt to even prosecute its own staff.
That is wild. And over in Milan, the resistance was even more pragmatic.
Oh, totally. The Milanese elites and Cardinal Borromeo blocked the Spanish model because they were terrified it would kill trade.
Oh, I get it. They viewed it as a business killer that would just drive away foreign merchants and capital.
Right. They saw the corruption and just said, "No thanks, we need our economy to function."
So pulling this all together from Lea's work, it's clear the Inquisition wasn't just about faith. It was this massive battle over jurisdiction.
Completely. It was a fight over who actually had the right to arrest you and, more importantly, seize your property.
Exactly. So I'll leave you with this provocative thought to mull over. Was the Inquisition eventually defeated by heroic resistance? Or did it just collapse under the sheer weight of its own corrupt, bankrupt bureaucracy?
Yeah, that's definitely something to think about when you look at how modern institutions fight over who has the right to handle a case today.